It seemed a brilliant solution for all the diseases of the Western world. And then once I began, it was like being on board a speeding express train. It was just impossible to get off again. All right. So then you tried to have me assassinated on the Rambouillet Road. Good God, no! Stephen was truly appalled. You're my brother, good God! Caliph did it to stop me getting close to Aaron's widow, who was out to avenge him. I didn't know a thing about it, I swear to you. If Caliph did it, he knew better than to let me in on it. Stephen was pleading now. You must believe that. Peter felt a softening of his resolve, but forced back the knowledge that this man was his brother, someone who had been very dear over a lifetime. What was your next operation for Caliph, then? He asked, without allowing the softness to reach his voice. There wasn't, damn you, Stephen, don't lie to me. Peter's voice cracked like a whiplash. You knew about Prince Hasid Abdul Hayek. All right. I arranged that. Caliph told me what to do, and I did it. Then you kidnapped Melissa Jane and had her mutilated. Oh, God, no! Stephen's voice was a sob. To force me to assassinate Kingston Parker. No, Peter, no! And then to kill Magda Altman. Peter, I swear to you, not Melissa Jane. I love her like one of my own daughters. You must know that. I had no idea it was Caliph. Stephen was pleading wildly now. You have to believe me. I would never have allowed that to happen. That is too horrible. Peter watched him with a steely, merciless glint of blue in his eyes, cold and cutting as the edge of the executioner's blade. I will do anything to prove to you I had nothing to do with Melissa Jane. Anything you say, Peter, I'll take any chance to prove it to you. I swear it to you. Stephen Stride's dismay and sincerity were beyond question. His face was drained of all colour, and his lips were marble white and trembling with the strength of his denial. Peter handed the shotgun to his brother without a word. Startled, Stephen held it for a moment at arm's length. You are in bad trouble, Stephen, Peter said quietly. He knew that from now on he needed Stephen's unreserved and wholehearted commitment. He could not be forced to do what he must do at the point of a shotgun. Stephen recognized the gesture and slowly lowered the gun. With his thumb, he pushed across the breech-locking mechanism, and the weapon hinged open. He pulled the cartridges from the double eyes of the breeches and dropped them into the pocket of his shooting jacket. "Let's get down to the house," Stephen said, his voice still unsteady with the trauma of the last minutes. "I need a stiff whiskey." There was a log fire burning in the deep walk-in fireplace of Stephen's study. The portals were magnificently carved altar surrounds from a 16th-century German church, salvaged from the ruins of World War II Allied bombing, and purchased by Stephen from a Spanish dealer after having been smuggled out through Switzerland. Opposite the fireplace, bow windows with leaded panes and ancient wavy glass looked out over the rose garden. The other two walls housed Stephen's collection of rare books, each boxed in its individual leather-bound container and lettered in gold leaf. The shelves reached from floor to the high-moulded ceiling. It was a passion that the brothers shared. Stephen stood now in the fireplace with his back to the flames, one hand clasped in the small of his back, hoisting up the skirts of his tweed jacket to warm his backside. In the other hand, he held a deep crystal tumbler, still half filled with whiskey, hardly diluted by the soda he had splashed into it from the siphon. Stephen still looked shaken and pale, and every few minutes he shivered uncontrollably, although the room was oppressively heated by the blazing fire and all the windows were closed tightly. Peter sprawled in the brocade-upholstered Louis XIV chair across the room, his legs thrust out straight and crossed at the ankles, hands thrust deeply into his pockets, and his chin lowered on his chest in deep thought. "How much was your contribution to Caliph's war chest?" Peter asked abruptly. I was not in the same class as Aaron Altman, Stephen answered quietly. I pledged 5 million in sterling over 5 years. So, we must imagine a network extending across all international boundaries. Powerful men in every country, each contributing enormous sums of money and almost unlimited information and influence. Stephen nodded and took another swallow of his dark-toned whiskey. There is no reason to believe that it was only one man in each country. There may be a dozen in England, another dozen in Western Germany, 50 in the United States. It's possible, Stephen agreed, so that Caliph could very easily have arranged the kidnapping of Melissa Jane through another of his chain in this country. You must believe I had nothing to do with it, Peter. Peter dismissed this new protestation impatiently and went on thinking out aloud. It is still possible that Caliph is a committee of the founder members, not one man at all.
I don't think so.
Stephen hesitated. I had a very strong impression that it was all one man. I do not think a committee would be capable of such swift and determined action. He shook his head, trying to cast his mind back for the exact words which had formed his impressions.
You must remember that I have only discussed Caliph with one other person, the man who recruited me. However, you can be certain that we discussed it in depth and over an extended period.
I was not about to put out 5 million on something that didn't satisfy me entirely. No, it was one man who would make the decision for all of us, but the decisions would be in the interests of all.
Yet, there was no guarantee that any individual member of the chain would be informed of every decision.
No, of course not. That would have been madness. Security was the key to success.
You could trust somebody you'd never met, whose identity was hidden from you. You could trust him with vast sums of money and the destiny of the world as we know it.
Stephen hesitated again, as if seeking the right words.
Caliph has an aura that seems to envelop all of us. The man who recruited me...
Stephen seemed reluctant to repeat the name again, proof to Peter of the influence that Caliph exerted,
is a man whose judgment I respect tremendously. He was convinced, and this helped to convince me.
What do you think now? Peter asked abruptly. Are you still convinced? Stephen drained the whiskey glass, and then smoothed his moustache with a little nervous gesture.
Come on, Stephen, Peter encouraged him. I still think Caliph had the right idea, he said reluctantly. The rules have changed, Peter. We were fighting for survival of the world as we know it. We were merely playing to the new morality.
He crossed to the silver tray on the corner of his desk and refilled the whiskey glass.
Up to now, we've had one hand tied behind our backs, while the Reds and the extreme left and the members of the Third World have had both hands to fight with and a dagger in each one. All Caliph did was to take off our shackles.
What's made you change your mind, then? Peter asked.
I'm not sure that I have changed my mind.
Stephen turned back to face him.
I still think it was the right idea.
But? Peter insisted. Stephen shrugged.
The murder of Aaron Altman, the mutilation of Melissa Jane.
He hesitated.
Other acts of which I suspect Caliph was the originator. They were not for the common good. They were merely to protect Caliph's personal safety, or to satisfy what I am beginning to believe is vaunted and unbridled lust for power.
Stephen shook his head again.
I believed Caliph to be noble and dedicated. But there is no nobility in some of the things he has done. He's acted like a common criminal. He has acted for personal advantage and glorification. I believe in the concept of Caliph, but I know now we've chosen the wrong man. He has been corrupted by the power that we placed in his hands.
Peter listened to him carefully, his head cocked to one side, his blue eyes clear and quietly searching. All right, Stephen. So we discover that Caliph is not a deity but a man, with a man's petty greed and self-interest.
Yes, I suppose I do. Stephen's handsome, florid face was heavy with regret. Caliph is not what I believed he might be. Do you accept now that he is evil, truly evil? Yes, I accept that. Then fiercely, but God, how I wish Caliph had been what I believed he was at the beginning. Peter could understand that, and he nodded. It was what this crazy world of ours needed, Stephen went on bitterly. We needed somebody, a strong man, to tell us what to do. I thought it was Caliph. I wanted it so badly to be him. So now, do you accept that Caliph was not that man?
Yes, said Stephen simply.
But if there was a man like that, I would follow him again, unquestioningly.
You said you would do anything to prove to me that you had nothing to do with Melissa Jane. Will you help me to destroy Caliph?
Yes.
Stephen did not hesitate. There will be great personal risk, Peter pointed out. And now Stephen met his eyes steadily.
I know that. I know Caliph better than you.
Peter found that his affection for his brother was now reinforced with admiration. Stephen lacked very few of the manly virtues, he thought. He had strength and courage and brains. Perhaps his major vice was that he had too much of each. What do you want me to do, Peter? I want you to arrange a meeting with Caliph, face to face. Impossible. Stephen dismissed it immediately. You said that you had means of getting a message to him?
Yes, but Caliph would never agree to a meeting.
Stephen, what is the single, the only weakness that Caliph has shown so far?
He's shown no weakness.
Yes, he has, Peter denied.
What is it?
He's obsessed with protecting his personal identity and safety, Peter pointed out. As soon as that is threatened, he immediately reverts to abduction and torture and murder.
That isn't a weakness, Stephen pointed out. It's a strength.
If you can get a message to him that his identity is in jeopardy, that somebody, an enemy, has penetrated his security screen and has managed to get close to him, Peter suggested. And Stephen considered it long and carefully.
He would react very strongly, Stephen agreed. But it would not take him very long to find out that I was lying. That would immediately discredit me. And as you said earlier, I would be at grave risk for no good reason.
It isn't a lie, Peter told him grimly. There is a Mossad agent close to Caliph, very close to him.
How do you know that?
Stephen asked sharply. I can't tell you, Peter said, but the information is ironclad. I even know the agent's code name. I give you my word that the information is genuine.
In that case, Stephen thought it out again. Caliph would probably already be suspicious and would be prepared to accept my warning. However, all he would do would be to ask me to give him the name, pass it to him along his usual communications channel. That would be it.
You would refuse to pass the information, except face to face. You will protest that the information is much too sensitive. You would protest that your personal safety was at stake. What would be his reaction?
I would expect him to put pressure on me to divulge the name.
If you resisted?
I suppose he would have to agree to a meeting. As you've pointed out, it is his major obsession. But if he met me face to face, his identity would be revealed anyway.
Think, Stephen. You know how his mind works.
It took a few seconds. Then Stephen's expression changed, consternation twisting his lips as though he was in pain.
Good God, of course! If I forced him to a face-to-face meeting, I would be highly unlikely to survive it.
Exactly, Peter nodded. If we baited it with something absolutely irresistible, Caliph would have to agree to meet you, but he would make arrangements to have you silenced immediately, before you had a chance to pass on his identity to anybody else.
Help, Peter, this is creepy. As you told me earlier today, I'm fat and out of condition. I wouldn't be much of a match against Caliph.
Caliph would take that into consideration when deciding whether to meet you or not, Peter agreed.
It sounds like suicide, Stephen persisted.
You just signed on to be tough, Peter reminded him.
Tough is one thing, stupid is another.
You would be in no danger until you delivered the message. Caliph would not dare dispose of you until you delivered your message, Peter pointed out. And I give you my word that I will never call on you to go to an assignation with Caliph.
I can't ask for more than that, I suppose. Stephen threw up his hands. When do you want me to contact him?
How do you do it, the contact?
Advert in the personal column, Stephen told him.
And Peter grinned with reluctant admiration. Neat, efficient, and entirely untraceable. Do it as soon as you can, Peter instructed.
Monday morning, Stephen
nodded, and went on studying his brother with a peculiarly intent expression.
What is it, Stephen? I was just thinking. If only Caliph had been somebody like you, Peter.
Me? For the first time, Peter was truly startled.
The warrior king, utterly ruthless in the pursuit of the vision of justice and rightness and duty.
I'm not like that, Peter denied it.
Yes, you are, Stephen said positively. You are the type of man that I hoped Caliph might be. The type of man we needed.